welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone's having an absolutely blessed day today. And I just saw some news earlier. It looks as if the power outages in California will be commencing shortly in the Sonoma area and a lot of areas below San Francisco, as we talked about earlier this week, with PG&E essentially bankrupt. They're now using the excuse of wildfires, or the potential wildfire, for them to shut down power to over 800,000 people this week. So this will be something that's interesting to see, sad for a lot of the customers, but also, too, not surprisingly, as this is something you start seeing in a socialist liberal government, which pretty much California has turned into now, is rolling blackouts. So I thought I would just bring that up. If you have friends or family in that area, make sure they're well prepared. If it was me, if I was over there, I would just leave. Well, I would have already left the state of California, moved out a long time ago. But if you're there, I would just go on a vacation for a week and get out of that mess and not deal with it, because there's a high probability the crime rate is about to skyrocket in these areas, considering the fact that people already know now that the power is going to be out for up to a week in these areas. Law enforcement, EMT, security cameras, all this stuff that are not run on generators 24/7 are going to be susceptible. So I just thought I would bring that up. That in other news, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm absolutely blessed, Austin. Doing wonderful today. In fact, it's interesting because you're right. And think about it for a second. Suddenly, we're going to have wildfires this week. All right. Oh, what about next week? Okay, what about last week? Okay, we're still in the same dry season. How about in 3 weeks? I mean, you know, what in the world are they doing this for? There's got to be a reason. And maybe because they want these people to move out of these areas.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the whatever they are trying to take over the planet things, or wanting to have that little area for a little, you know, enclave. They want to hang out there. I mean, last year, you know, we saw homes burn in that area, and the trees didn't burn. I mean, the trees are right next to the house, and they don't burn. I mean, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. And it's the same thing like with 9/11. We had cars catching on fire a mile away as they basically, how should I say this, focused their space-based weapons to basically put the doggone trade towers into a, how should I say, harmonic dissolution phase. There you go. Dr. Judy Wood from Clemson called it dustification, and she said that's how the towers were taken out. Everybody needs to read that book, by the way. Where, W-H-E-R-E, where did the towers go? In fact, you can get that online as a free PDF, which is pretty cool. So you don't have to go spend $60 on the book like I did, which, by the way, it was worth $60 because it's full of color pictures. And what's funny, when you look down on top of 9/11, they never do that because all those fat photographs are classified. I don't know where she got these pictures. If you look straight down the towers where the rubble is, you'll see a hole burned right through the middle of them. That's like a big circle. And you're like, really? Yeah, so I thought, too, when I first saw it. I thought, well, I never saw that, you know, on the evening news. And it's strange how they did that. So I believe they used particle-based weapons. I believe they put this thing into a molecular dissociation phase, which means it basically came apart, you know, and then they basically hit it with some other type of explosives, and it was so weakened by all of the stuff they were doing to it. I mean, think about this for a second. People were bailing out of the windows 20 or 30 floors above the fires where there was no fire. I mean, jumping to their death. Why were they jumping to their death? They weren't dying. They weren't being burned. They may have been some smoke, but they were hanging their heads out the window. They had broken the glass out. Why were they taking a 100-story free fall to certain death? Why? Well, there's only one reason why. They were being hit by microwave radiation, and they were getting cooked internally, and they could feel it. The pain must have been unbearable for them to jump out. I mean, dozens of people jumped out, dozens. They said it was raining bodies. It was so bad. But yet the towers hadn't fallen yet, but people were still jumping out and committing suicide. I mean, I guess if I got thrown in a microwave oven, I'd jump out of a window, too, if I thought there was no way out. I mean, I'd be like, the heck with this. I'm going to die anyhow. I'm not going to get cooked to death. And they think, well, this is some weird stuff to talk about today. Was, you know, this is the Ted and Austin Brower Show. We always talk about weird stuff. We try to give you the other side of the news that nobody wants to touch. Everybody read that book, Where Do the Towers Go? You know, Austin, yesterday was interesting. I was running around. I had a bunch of errands to do. It was one of those days that I had. There was like everything coalesced into one giant. So many things had to get done. And so yesterday afternoon, I had stopped from Lakeland, and I was stopping at Sam's Club, and I was getting some fuel. And I found it interesting because it was an 18-wheel semi-truck filling up with fuel for his own tanks there. I thought, pretty smart guy, probably the best fuel prices he's going to get. And I'm parked right beside him, and I'm talking to your brother, Harrison, about your mom, actually. And you know, I asked him to give her a call, and we were talking for a minute, and then I hung up, and then the guy across the tank right beside me, says to me, says, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure, bud." And he goes, "Are you Ted Brower?" And I said, "I am Ted Brower." And he looked at me and says, "I knew it. I recognized your voice." His name was Bob. And now, Bob, forgive me. It's either Matthias or Mathis. I couldn't remember. I typed it in as that. It came out, spell checked it the other way. But Bob and I started talking, and he was saying that we have an entire group of, like, truckers, which that's a profession, by the way, that I really admire. Without truckers, we would not have the goods and services and the products distributed anywhere in the United States. And I just really respect truckers and with their CDLs. And most of these guys, 99.99% of them, are phenomenal drivers. And so they run those big rigs down the highway. So I'm just giving a shout out to Bob and all the truckers who listen to the show. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening to the Ted and Austin Brower Show. And he also told me they liked Dave Hodges, and they also like Doug Hagman. And so, yeah, we're kind of a little trio here going on with the three of us. And so, guys, thank you again for your support. Now, I want you to know something. When I stopped there and I talked to Bob for a few minutes yesterday, and I actually gave him my phone number. I said, he had some questions for me, so I gave him my number and said, just give me a call when you need to talk. So, you know, so Bob, it was nice meeting you. But what's interesting about this is now I'm seeing, Austin, that so many people around the world are waking up. That people are waking up. We're finally beginning to realize that we're reaching a tipping point. And that's what these globalists that have done 9/11, that have done Building 7, that have started World War I or World War II, the bankers pretty much run all the wars. It's these guys that have basically manipulated the economies of the world for thousands of years, going all the way back to the temple when Jesus ran them out. It's the same group, the same Babylonians, the same people who were the people who sacrificed at Stonehenge, the same group. It's always the same group. And what's funny about this is the people, the general population now, like me and you, Austin, and Bob, and a bunch of our listeners, we're all waking up. And once this thing hits about 10%, we hit a tipping point because things start changing, because we start creating our own reality, because we start doing the things we want to do rather than what the globalists want to do. Remember, a little yeast will raise the entire loaf of bread. 5% of the people in America caused the American Revolution. That's a fact. I mean, this is something that you need to realize. In fact, these American revolutionists, Austin, you could actually call these guys the first conspiracy theorists. You know, and remember, now we're having all of this news media being controlled by the Silicon Valley cutouts. These are the people like Bill Gates who are financed by the international banking cartels, and Elon Musk, who basically are puppets on a string being told what to say. Same thing with the guy who runs Amazon, Bezos. All these guys were given the money to expand, and the bulk of their corporations, if you really looked at the dollars, they're not given access to them. They're given this incredible lifestyle, but they're still primarily owned through the international banking cartels. George Soros is given $18 billion and 184 different nonprofit groups around the world just to try to change the future trends. We need to realize that the Silicon Valley tech lords, if you want to call them that, they're cutouts. They're evil. All of them are evil. You got the internet. You got the internet that was created by DARPA, okay, which is going to be used for control. But they didn't realize it was going to turn into the new Gutenberg press and do all of this stuff. I mean, they're giving us Wi-Fi with 5G that they know is going to cause diseases. They don't care. We've got a medical revolution. We've got doctors now that are causing more deaths than pretty much anything else from iatrogenic diseases because they're giving people so many drugs and so many drug companies, which are intentionally giving us drugs that they know are going to cause death. We've got full human DNA genome from we don't even know what being injected into our children. What the heck's that going to do? Are we going to try to change the population of who we were, what we were, or what we are? You know, why was it every thought of every man was evil? Had they done this once before in Genesis chapter 6? We've got vaccines. We've got flu shots. I've got a friend of mine, his wife is a nurse. She came home yesterday with a flu shot. They told her that she didn't get the flu shot, that she had to wear a mask. And if she didn't get the flu shot next year, she couldn't even wear a mask, that she'd be terminated. I mean, why do we have medical tyranny with nurses that have to take flu shots and inject themselves with aluminum and mercury? Why is that? I mean, we have the suicidal side effects of all of these drugs that are being given to so many people, including our soldiers. I mean, you know, finally we tell you guys on the show so many times you got to go organic, but now a lot of the organic companies are being bought up by the same globalist Rothschild entities that the other companies are, so we don't even know if we're getting organic anymore. We know that the rich elite have their own planes that come behind them in many cases, carrying organic food so they don't have to eat the general foods distributed to the masses. Oh, by the way, that is true, along with their own chefs, because they're not going to eat this GMO trash. We know that. We know that Monsanto puts out Terminator genes, and we've got Roundup that people are being poisoned with all over the country, still being given out right now. The FDA hasn't said anything about it. You know, the USDA hasn't done anything about it. Nobody does anything about it. You know, thousands and thousands of lawsuits with cancer. But they just continue just to try to clump them into a big group and go down the road with it, just like, you know, they did with the OxyContin group with Purdue Pharma. they file bankruptcy and they keep selling the doggone OxyContin so they can keep making more money to pay off the doggone lawsuits. All of this stuff is happening, and we need to realize, guys, that this is all being controlled by that same group. We have to understand that, you know, that Nikola Tesla told us how to have free energy. He told us how to do it. He told us that was over 100 years ago, and J.P. Morgan, Rothschild cutout, stopped it. You think, well, it can't all be Rothschild cutouts. Well, yeah, it pretty much is. We have to realize that the D.C. is independent, basically state itself. That's what's why it has its own little boundaries. That federalism was set up for states' rights to protect us from foreign powers. We have to understand that. We know that the CFR was developed from the Treaty of Versailles because Woodrow Wilson was so corrupt, and he was basically forced by Samuel Untermeyer to put Brandeis in the first Supreme Court justice that pushed us into the World War I and formed the League of Nations to try to take over and put in a new world order, a new world government. You know, then we know the CFR was formed, which now kind of runs Washington politics along with AIPAC. 1913, the central bank, you know, basically from Great Britain, which is the Rothschilds had already taken over, you know, set central banks all over the country, all over the world. You know, we know that the trillions of dollars in debts that we own to central banks are all fraudulent. We know that. They're charging us interest on our own money they give us. We could just void that all out if they had not sold all their bonds and all of our treasury notes all over the world to other countries. In 1934, we had the Exchange Stability Fund got started. We had the 16th Amendment with income taxes. After World War II, the United Nations basically wanted to take over the entire planet, and they set up the Bank of International Settlements. This was started after World War I to force Germany to pay war reparations because the Germans didn't want to play this game with everybody. In 1934, the Exchange Stability Fund basically took our gold in 33, set up this fund in 34, and that's when the Treasury was taken over by the New York Fed. People don't understand that. They own our money. They don't have to follow anyone. They can do whatever they want to do. They don't answer to anybody. The Plunge Protection Team is not controlled by the President or the Treasury. In 1944, Bretton Woods was set up by the United Nations, again, another Rothschild front, through the World Bank Rothschild Front and the International Monetary Fund Rothschild Fund. And then we had this. I'm going to stop for 1 second on this little thing because I've worked on this little presentation this morning quite a bit of time today already, and I want to cover something to you. Then we had this really cool dude, and I'm being facetious, Harry Dexter White. He set up the International Monetary Fund to basically slave the rest of the planet. Now you think, well, who is Dexter White? Let's just do a little bit of fun times with this. He was a communist. I'm reading you from his Wikipedia page. Just to let you know that it's always the same group that does all of this stuff, these Sabbatean Kabbalists. He was a senior U.S. Treasury Department official working closely with the Secretary of Treasury, Henry Morgenthau, who developed the Morgenthau Doctrine, which starved millions of Germans to death after World War II. Just that's who he was. He helped to set an American financial policy toward the Allies of World War II, while at the same time he passed numerous secrets. Listen to this, Wikipedia. He passed numerous secrets to the Soviet Union, which was an American ally for the part of the time and an adversary at other times. He was a communist. He was a senior American official at the 1944 Bretton Woods Conference that established a post-war economic order. He dominated the conference and imposed his vision of the post-war financial institutions over the objections of John Maynard Keynes, the British representative. At Bretton Woods, White was the major architect of the International Monetary Fund and World Bank Rothschild cutout. White was accused in 1948 of spying for the Soviet Union, which he denied. Although he was never part of the Communist Party, the FBI documents showed that he was working with the Soviets. Now, let's look at his early life. Just read this, you guys, and just sit for a second. Harry Dexter White was born in Boston, Massachusetts, the seventh and youngest child of Jewish immigrants Joseph Velt and Sarah Miligiski, who had settled in America in 1885. Now, what was interesting about this, you know, In 1934, Jacob Viner, he worked with him. He also was a Canadian economist. And these are the guys who helped put together the Exchange Stability Fund. And he's considered with Frank Knight and Henry Simons to be one of the inspiring mentors of the early Chicago School of Economics in 1930. He was one of the leading figures of the Chicago faculty, okay, where he's working in the universities. Early life. Viner was born to a Jewish family in 1892 in Montreal, Quebec, to Romanian immigrant parents. He earned his undergraduate degree at McGill University and received a PhD at Harvard, where he wrote his dissertation under the trade economist Frank Tosic. Now, the thing about all of these clowns is that the common denominator is they were all placed in the position via the Frankfurt School and via communism and via the Rothschild banking cartel, via the Sabbatean Kabbalists, via the Luciferians. And you say, well, Ted, this is history that I've never heard. Well, guys, I'm not even having to go very far to find this. This is just basically information on Wikipedia. This is who these clowns were, including this Harry Dexter White, who was a renowned globalist, communist, Rothschild cutout who gave us all of these international banking cartel funds to control the world finances and to bring all of the central banks in the planet underneath the Rothschild umbrella to bring in a new world government, new world financial system, and a new world religion. This is where it's going. Well, Ted, why doesn't anybody else talk about this? I don't know. Gosh, I don't know. I mean, we talk about this stuff all the time. That's why you guys listen to the show, because we give you all this information. It's always the same group that does this, and we need to understand who these clowns were. Then in 45, the OSS then became the CIA. They worked in the plot to kill John F. Kennedy, because John F. Kennedy wanted to tell you what was going on after Roswell and these spaceships crashed. In addition to that, he wanted to pass Executive Order 11110, which gave us the ability to have debt-free currency again, and he wanted to basically get rid of the CIA because he knew they'd become a satanic organization. All of this stuff happened in the last 70, 80 years, all because our government was taken over by a group of people who basically wanted to control the entire planet and who were continuing to not let us know about the interdimensional entities, which the Bible talks about very clearly, which have been controlling this planet for a long, long time and now openly controlling the governments. After CIA, Kennedy planned to take over the – after the CIA killed Kennedy, the CIA planned to take over the White House and has control of the White House since Reagan, period, done. It controls it right now. The federal – look at what's going on with Trump right now with the CIA and what's happening with him. And you know, anytime somebody tries to say something they're not supposed to say anymore, all hell breaks loose in the White House. Oops, should have said H-E double sticks. All H-E double sticks breaks loose in the White House, and we get to see all of this stuff. The Democrats are so completely consumed with communism and Satanism in the vast majority of these guys, not all Satanists, but all pretty much communists and socialists, that they have a hypnotic view that, you know, that Hillary Clinton's going to run for office again, and she may run for office again, and that she's going to win, and they can bring in their communist utopia. They don't even care that she's a career criminal. And we need to understand this Exchange Stability Fund that was set up in 1934 is a secret treasury operation. It is the largest financial agency in the world. It was established after the gold was seized in 1934 to use the gold to protect the value of the dollar. It operates from the New York Fed. It is controlled by the New York Fed. I mean, the treasury is controlled by the New York Federal Reserve. The treasury of the Exchange Stability Fund is controlled through the international finance, and it basically keeps a low profile using the Fed as a front. That's why every time you try to talk about the Exchange Stability Fund, you know, in the real world on a talk show, they don't want to hear about it. They shut you down because they don't want you being involved as far as knowing what the truth is. Now, let me read you some stuff that Fred Bell wrote. I can't recommend his book, but I'm going to read you part of it because it's just too new agey. He goes into detail because he's a very big expert. He was the one – this is Fred Bell. He was the one who was interviewed on Jesse Ventura's show about the particle beam weapon that was placed in the space. He was talking about Reagan's Star Wars on TV and talking about how he had to come in and help fix it all the time and that he was safe, and he was dead before that show aired. This Fred Bell, okay? He wrote a really good book, and he talked about the alien agenda in the United States. And he goes on to say, he goes, after the 1984 crash in Hart Canyon in Aztec, New Mexico – I'm going to tell you the name of the book, okay? This is for Christians only because it gets really weird. So don't get all wrapped up in this new agey stuff he talks about. But it's called Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light, Information and Guidance by Dr. Fred Bell. Total new age propaganda for about 80% of it, but I really believe that a lot of the stuff that he's giving you is actually accurate information for the first part of the book about what happened with the alien agenda in the United States. I'm not going to not tell you guys what the book is. I was thinking for a second, you guys are my audience, but I don't promote the book to the general population, only if you're a Christian and you can understand what they're talking about, because he kind of slams religions in there and a bunch of other stuff. But it says that after the 1948 crash in Hart Canyon in Aztec, New Mexico, yes, another crash, because they found out how to use crossed over radio waves. Or but that would be – we've talked to you guys about that. When you take two radio waves and you cross them over, you create a longitudinal wave. You cross two of those over, you create a scalar wave. They learned if they used these radio antenna and they crossed them over, they could take down these alien entity interdimensional spacecraft while they were basically in our dimension and force them to crash. Yeah, I just said a whole bunch, didn't I? So in 1948, crash in the Hart Canyon, Aztec, New Mexico, our government became very concerned. Another crash occurred on February 13, 1948, on the Mesa near Aztec. And between the two crashes, 17 bodies were recovered from these fallen whatever they are. All right. Of even greater significance was the discovery of a large number of human body parts. That's – I told you this before – stored within both of these vehicles, as was found in a ship that went down in Canada also. They're collecting humans. Now, you see, you hear about these cattle mutilations, and a few more of them just happened a few weeks ago, and I was going to report on it, but it fell between the cracks in the news stories. That's when you see these cattle, they're basically in the middle of a field, all their blood's been drained, their eyes, their glands, their reproductive organs are all gone, and basically they're left there with no tracks around them, no vehicle tracks around them, no evidence whatsoever that they were dropped off there, and all of the body parts were surgically, as if with a laser scalpel, removed. Yeah, in case you hadn't heard about that, that's basically called cattle mutilation, and it's been happening for a long, long time. And what these extra-dimensional entities say, and the same thing they did in Genesis chapter 6, is they started breeding with humans, and their big excuse was that they were basically in a state of disrepair in their own genome, and they had to start breeding with humans to maintain their life cycle, and they needed to have human beings as subjects to work with their DNA and for reproduction. Yeah, that's basically the gist of the book. And then it goes into detail about what was going on with the government and what the government thought they had to do, because the government started panicking when these things started showing up because of the massive amount of technology that they had, which was way beyond we did. That's where, if you read the book, The Day After Roswell, Dr. Colonel Corso says that we developed night vision, lasers, Kevlar, and printed circuits, all from these ships that came down. We back-engineered it, again, being promoted and financed through the Rothschild banking cartel, being run by the CIA, which controls everything, which we now see in Washington is pretty doggone obvious, which I've been calling out for years. And this is the group. It's the shadow government, especially the mafia, that's running the United States. Now, at this point, the senior, I'm going to read Fred Bill Bell's books again. He goes, by now the secret government was starting to panic. By secret executive order of Eisenhower, the Jason scholars, which I've talked about in depth, which is a group of scholars who basically were the smartest people supposedly in the world, they projected the effects of nuclear holocaust, and they decided there were several things we had to do. Number one was to use nuclear devices to blast holes into the stratosphere to allow excess heat and pollution to escape into space. I've talked to you about this. They didn't know if when they did this, if they were going to vent the atmosphere out of the planet and destroy the Earth. But they did it anyhow, just to see what happened. Just, these guys are that arrogant. I mean, they're that arrogant. Number two, the second alternative plan was to build a vast network of underground cities, which they've done. Number three was to exploit the alien and conventional technology in order to establish colonies in outer space, which they've done. And all three alternatives included birth control, sterilization, and introduction of the deadly microbes to control the slow growth, to control and slow the growth of Earth's population. It says AIDS and Ebola are only one result of these plans. There were others. It was decided that the population must be reduced and controlled, that it would be in the best interest of the human race to rid ourselves of the undesirable elements of society, that's eugenics. The joint U.S. and Soviet leadership dismissed alternative one, okay, but ordered work to begin on alternative two and three immediately, but they still detonated stuff into the upper stratosphere, up into the upper atmosphere to see what would happen. So, guys, this is what's interesting to me is you start looking at this type of research that was done for, you know, decades that Fred Bell did this, and you start seeing all of these pieces of the puzzle come together. Again, these entities that we talked about on Friday's show last week, please listen to Friday's show. Today's show will make a lot more sense to you. Last Friday, it goes into what these things are, what they do, what they eat. These things are not what you think they are. They're not good. You know, I tell you this, you know, my buddy Mancal Mueller, I'll be on a show on Friday. I'll be flying to Chicago to be on a show live in studio. He told me basically that he did that Ashwasha thing or whatever you want to call it. I can't remember the exact name of that stuff that puts you into a different mental state unless you see in other dimensions. And he said he wishes he had never done it. I warned him not to do it. I mean, why do you want to leave a trail of breadcrumbs so these things can find you? And he saw all kinds of crazy stuff. Saw people shape-shifting in front of him. I mean, it's some crazy stuff. When we go into an interdimensional interface and we start seeing this other stuff, don't you remember in the Old Testament, the Bible story? You know, the Israelites were all upset because they were going to be outnumbered, they were going to be killed, etc. And God says, you know, there's angels all over the place. And the guy goes, well, I don't see any. And he opened his eyes and he saw the field and the heavens, the fields and the mountains were covered with angels. Guys, we have God on our side. You know, you can't allow this stuff to mess with your head. You can't allow the negative news stories that you hear on so many other talk shows to mess with your head, and they don't give you a faith and a hope for a future. You, listen to me, for my friend, you, all of you listening right now, I believe this with all of my heart because I prayed for you again today. You guys are in covenant with God Almighty. If you're not saved by now listening to this show, you soon will be. I believe that with all of my heart. But you're in covenant with God Almighty. God sent forth His Son, created His own image to die for you, to reconcile you, to allow your energy signature, your body, your soul, your spirit, whatever you want to call it, to come into union with him through the Holy Spirit, to be infused with the Holy Spirit, and to be connected to God through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, to God in his throne room right now. Right now. He's your covenant head. So when God is with you, who can be against you? We're just passing through this place. This is just, you know, one of these things. We're just going, oh, wow, look at these clowns. Look at the Washington Clown Show, whatever. Now, does that mean we should not be involved? Absolutely no, we should be involved. We should do everything we possibly can to slow this planet's destruction by whatever the heck these things are, and these different species and of aliens, reptilians, fallen angels, things that go bump in the night, interdimensional, whatever they are. We need to do everything we can to fight this source of evil. Because if you read in Fred Bell's book, it says they've used Satanism to basically enforce and do what they want to do, because they're being fed through that. We talked about that on Friday. So what's interesting about all of this is, guys, because you're in covenant with God, as soon as you leave here, you get to be with God. You're connected to him already. You're kind of like on an elastic strap. You know, that's what that's the easiest way to say it, in this dimension. And the elastic strap stretched out to God. And his arms are not short. He cannot not. He has plenty of room to pull you up. And as soon as you leave your body here, which is just a place for you to hang out for a bit, you go immediately, your snap pulls tight, and you go right back to be with God, because you're in covenant with God Almighty through Jesus Christ. I was on a show here last year, and they were talking, this lady was a New Ager, and I was on the show with her for about an hour, hour and a half. Did a good show with her. She had a huge response on it, but she has not asked me back. Why did she not ask me back? Because she was saying, well, there's all these different ways to the Father, all these different ways to God, all these different things that you can do. It's not just through Jesus. And I said, I completely and totally disagree with you. I said, you got to think about something. You know, there's a book that was written, I think it was by Josh McDowell, but I can't remember for sure. It was written back in the 80s, and it was called Evidence to Demands a Verdict, and it talked about the cross. Everything in our culture changed 2,000 years ago on Calvary. Everything. The Romans were having their orgies and all their multiple gods and all the stuff that they were doing. They were having the human sacrifices in the Colosseums through entertainment. They were sacrificing people on crosses in the Colosseum and on the roads going to Rome. Everything was horrible. It was as it was in the beginning, where in Genesis chapter 6, every thought of every man was becoming evil all of the time. All the stuff had degraded again to that point. Christ came and he saved us from that. God sent forth a kinsman redeemer, a second Adam, in his own image to basically be the fall guy for us, to be the scapegoat, to be the Lamb of God, as in the Passover feast. He did that for us. Jesus said, I lay down my life willingly, if you read the book of John. He did it on purpose. That's why his point was to be here. When John Hagee said, and I've got him on video, and I played it for you on the show before, you can look it up and Google it, he said that Jesus did not come to be the Messiah. That's blasphemy. That's because John Hagee's got himself caught up in Zionism and Judaism. And that's why John Hagee should, I don't recommend following him at all. I wouldn't listen to the thing that man says. Well, you can Google it. Google it yourself and listen to him say that Jesus Christ did not come to be the Messiah. That's how twisted and messed up this globalist, elite, satanic agenda has taken the Christian church. And that's why, guys, if your pastor is all about Israel, 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 why is your pastor not about America, 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 America? I mean, why? What's going on with that? Why don't you ask him? That's what I do. I've done that. Of course, you know, you probably get drummed out. Just let you know you're going to get drummed out before you do it, because you got to understand something. That's one of the reasons that Trump's message resounded with everybody, from plumbers to truckers to doctors to attorneys to every blue collar and white collar job person in America who was a conservative, basically nationalist, who loves the United States of America, what this country is. Everybody resounded with Donald Trump's message of make America great again. And guys, it's something that we need to understand. All of this stuff is being orchestrated and controlled to bring out their desired objective of the third temple and the coming of the Antichrist. And they're using Trump for this too. And so we need to understand who's in charge and what they're doing. Because if we don't understand that all of these organizations are basically satanic in nature, and that's who controls them, then we're going to be basically, you know, blinded by what we don't see and what we don't understand. Remember, these are black magic institutions. You've got Singularity University, you know, founded by, you know, Ray Kurzweil. This is pushing the transhumanism agenda. You've got the Google, okay, you know, this is their headquarters. All these people right there in Silicon Valley, they're right there literally on the same street. And then you got NASA headquarters right there. All three of these organizations are satanic. They're all black magic institutions. And we need to understand who they are. They all sit on the same street together. And the NSA even knows that the CIA is black magic. The CIA's hire witches, for heaven's sakes. I mean, think about that for a second, for the remote viewing they were doing. And they're all part of Tavistock, the Institute of Human Relations that was started back in 1946 after they started initially working on this after during World War I for shell shock. All of these guys work together to try to bring in this new world, satanically inspired new world order. And they're working with these entities. You say, wow, Ted, that sounds like crazy stuff. Well, I didn't say it wasn't crazy stuff, but we know there's a book you can read. I think it's called Satan, the God, the Prince of this World. And it was written by the same guy who wrote Pawns in the Game, by William Guy Carr. It's his unfinished book. You need to read both those books. You also need to read Topper Saucy's book, Rulers of Evil. These are all free online. You get all these free online. Topper Saucy's book, you know, Rulers of Evil. And if you want, you can read this book by Fred Bell, but be very careful with it because it gets weird. But so you can, there's all kinds of stuff that you can read. But guys, listen to me for a second. Keep it focused through a Jesus Christ perspective. Don't let these people mess with your faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because remember, it said that these entities that they actually captured alive when he talks about it in the book, and they interviewed him constantly, and they said all this thing did was lie. It lied about everything. It lies. They don't stop lying. Why? Because their father is Lucifer and the father of lies. Jesus called them out in the book of John. Your father's the devil. He's a liar from the beginning, and he's your father. He says, no, our father is Abraham. No, he's not, because these guys he was talking to was what the book of Revelation calls the synagogue of Satan. They claim to be Jews, but they are not. They are the synagogue of Satan. So that's what we have to understand. It's running this new world order. And that's why I say to you guys, the Rothschild banking cartel needs to be abolished. It needs to be taken away. But guys, that's going to be a hard trick to do because of international monetary funds, international monetary policy, and the United States and the whole planet. If you try to get rid of these clowns, they're going to collapse the system. They're going to take us back 100 years. I'm telling you what's going to happen, maybe 200 years. And we're going to have to start all over again. But guys, it's the only way we're going to shake ourselves free from the shackles of bondage and tyranny is to get rid of these clowns that worship Lucifer and take back our country. Well, awesome. That's about all I got to say about all that crazy stuff this morning. What's your next story? What do you got to say?
Yeah, there's not much more I could say on all that. You pretty much nailed all of it. But one aspect that I did want to bring up here as well is that I have to constantly, you know, I get emails all the time from people, and I'm constantly sifting through them. Some of them I respond to. Some of them people just send me, you know, comments and stuff like that. And I appreciate a lot of the positive ones. The negative ones, I usually just delete them. So that is what it is. But going back to what you said at the very beginning, I just wanted to bring this up real briefly. Is, you know, the whole aspect of this full intact genome in the MMRV vaccine that the French scientists have found now in this report that they released last week. I had a guy email me, and it was interesting because, you know, we had talked yesterday about what are they doing as far as these babies that they're getting these DNA genome from, because you understand the aborted fetal tissue that they basically have, there's not a lot of oversight on specifically where they're getting them from. They say they're getting it from this area, they say they're getting it from this, and it's registered, but the aspect of it is it's not very controlled, as we've already seen now with that black market, as the videos that were released, the undercover videos from 3 years ago where they're discussing the aspect of selling them on the black market, a lot of illicit behavior, illicit transactions in this realm. So I'm going somewhere with this, so stay with me. How do we know that they are not taking and basically making babies? You already know they have designer babies. They can go in and they can change certain aspects of the DNA structure. They can go in and rewrite certain genetic code. They can already do that. That's been something they've done for years. How do we know that they're not going in and basically brewing these babies up? Basically, genetically modified babies, I'll put it that way. Genetically modifying these babies and then essentially killing them, i.e. aborting them, and then taking those genetically modified babies and taking their DNA and putting it inside of these vaccines to try to rewrite the DNA of the children are being shot
exactly
with.
Right.
And so the guy brought that topic up, and I've already kind of thought about that before. And he kind of said the same thing. And, you know, at first, you know, you kind of think about it, you're like, man, that's so far left field. Guys, is it already not so far left field that we know 100% that they are putting aborted fetal DNA tissue with 100% intact genomes in vaccines? I mean, that already right there should kind of be like, is that really necessary? Is that really socially acceptable? I must be real about that. Is that something that we're really supposed to be okay with? But apparently, we are. The society has been so brainwashed and so programmed that we are accepting of that now. So what makes us think that they're not going in and genetically modifying these children, essentially in an incubator test tube, so to speak, to put it very clearly, and modifying them and then taking their DNA and putting it in these vaccines? Because remember, they already have. They've already come out with this. They came out with this, I think, 4 or 5 years ago. They released it. That they're releasing, say, a flu vaccine with a CRISPR-9 gene editing addition to it, meaning the DNA is designed to go in, the vaccine is designed to go in and rewrite your DNA to make you immune from the flu for the rest of your life. This is already out. They've already talked about this. I went in detail on this, I think, about a year and a half ago. CRISPR-9 gene editing, DNA altering vaccines that they already have in production that they've been testing now for years. And whether or not they're using those in the general population, we don't even know. But they've already come out and said that technology exists. They're working on it. They're testing on it. So you can get a vaccine and you never have to get another vaccine again. It'll go in and rewrite your entire genetic code. So you will not get these diseases ever in your life, which, again, it doesn't take a real deep thinker to realize there's some serious implications with allowing scientists to have a monetary incentive to write DNA-changing code into vaccines so that you'll be allegedly immune from it the rest of your life. It, obviously, there's some very, very deep-seated, sinister behavior behind that if you really want to look into it. But again, that's something that really, really kind of I thought about yesterday as we've talked about it, Dad. Very weird stuff. Also, too, now, in other news, the aspects and the usage of the red flag gun laws are becoming easier and easier and easier to implement. In Washington State now, a man who posted a meme, this is another incident, he posted a meme on Facebook, not a threat towards an individual, did not brandish a firearm. In fact, this man was actually non-felon, never been arrested before, was a legal concealed carry holder. Legal concealed carry holder. And posted a meme, basically, of a guy with a sword with the meme, "One ticket to the Joker, please," which apparently that's like a joke with the whole Batman thing. And then posted another one with the same thing, "One ticket for the Joker, please," while he's holding two AK-47s. Didn't make a statement as far as, you know, I'm going to shoot anybody or I want to kill anybody. Never had a history of mental illness. Never been arrested before, as I said. Well, apparently that was enough for the Seattle. Listen to this. The Seattle Police Department's Criminal Intelligence Unit. He was not turned in by an individual. Let's clarify that. A family member did not turn him in. A spouse did not turn him in. A disgruntled ex-wife did not turn him in. The Seattle Police Department Criminal Intelligence Unit essentially scans Facebook for real threats, is what they say. And they became aware of the post when they basically saw this and they notified the police department. The police department said that basically the individual, they were basically concerned about this meme. They issued a red flag gun order. The red flag gun order was basically signed into law by the sheriff or the judge. The judge went into his house, 23-year-old man. They found six guns total, a couple handguns, a couple AKs, and a shotgun. Stole them from his home under the extreme risk protection order filed by the Redmond Police Department. The protection order now is basically in place for an entire year. This is on October 1st. Now the man can no longer own or possess a firearm or any ammunition. If now, within a year from now, he has the ability to go in and rebuttal this and fight it and try to get his firearms back. But the kicker, and this is what I told you guys, this is the real kicker that they added in here. At any point in time now for the next year, if this 23-year-old guy is caught with the possession of a firearm or the possession of ammunition at any point in time, he is immediately charged with felony possession. And so we now have to really take a step back and look at what's going on here. And I know a lot of people say, Austin, you know, you bring up Second Amendment and gun rights a lot. Yes, I do. I bring it up a lot because most people, for some reason have this concept that this is some right that is never going to go away. And we can essentially sit on our guns and sit in our house and play Rambo, and we're never going to have to do anything about it because we have a Second Amendment and it's going to protect us. The problem is the Second Amendment is about to disappear and dissolve. It's about to fly up into the world of thin air. We now have police investigation units scouring social media sites to execute red flag gun laws so they can seize weapons from law-abiding citizens with legal concealed carry permits so they can seize their firearms for a year. And I can almost guarantee you this man is never going to get his firearms back. From what I have been told and from what I have researched in Florida now, I have not found one legitimate thing about one person getting their firearms back after a year with a red flag gun owner in Florida. I've not found one. It could be wrong. They may have had somebody that's finally lawyered up enough and got enough money, but the problem is they're never going to release that information because they don't want those individuals or anybody else finding out that they basically were able to fight the system and get their firearms back. But we are essentially in a war now, a soft war up over our firearms. And now, I told you guys yesterday, Senator down here in Florida is now trying to expand the red flag gun law. This is what I warned everybody about last year when this went into place. This is a serious problem that's going to escalate rapidly, and if this goes into law federally, like Bubble Boy Rubio wants to implement, we are going to be in a very, very serious issue, because once you start having federal agents and sheriff's departments working together in unison with a monetary incentive to steal people's firearms for whatever reason they can concoct, and people go, oh, they wouldn't start doing that. Really? You ever heard of asset forfeiture? You ever wonder why the DEA on average seizes $3 billion a year in cash from law-abiding citizens? Most of the money never gets returned to them. These people are never charged with a crime, never charged with possession, never charged with distribution, never charged with anything. Their money was seized, it was stolen by the federal government under asset forfeiture laws, and then they have to get an attorney and fight tooth and nail for 6 months to a year to try to get their money back that they legally had that was stolen from them because of asset forfeiture laws. So don't believe for a second that you think these gun laws are going to be used legally and justly. They're not. They're not being used now. And people go, well, you know, this guy posted this meme. He could have been possibly playing in a mass shooting. He could have. Anybody, any 330 million people, any one of those people could be playing in a mass shooting. So does that mean now, because we're scared little children and we don't know how to defend ourselves and we don't know how to protect our families, that we now want to allow due process to be eroded in the United States and our ability to defend ourselves be completely thrown out the window because we're scared? We're little children that can't protect ourselves, and we need the big bad government to come in and start seizing people's firearms that they deem to be dangerous? Is that really where we've got now? Because that concept sounds great in theory. It sounds great in theory. Oh, man, let the government protect you. Let law enforcement protect you. Oh, they see somebody that's dangerous. They'll take their guns. They'll protect us. What happens when they deem you to be dangerous? There's a question. What happens when they deem you to be a problem and they deem you to be somebody that they don't trust, and then they come knocking on your door with a 5-man fire team at 4 a.m. to seize your firearms? What then? This is why I have told everybody, always have multiple backup plans with this. If you have firearms in your house, you can legally do so, but I suggest you have firearms in other places as well that you can legally keep them. Don't keep all your eggs in one basket, if you catch my drift of what I'm saying right here. Because once this thing goes sideways and once this starts to go full-blown tyrannical and they start issuing these on any individuals that they deem to be a threat, we're going to have a serious issue, and we're going to have a line in the sand that's going to be drawn, and we're going to have to figure out how far we're going to allow that line to go. Because this is becoming a serious issue now all across the country. Down here in Florida, there's been, I think, over 2,700 red flag gun law risk protection orders issued now in the state of Florida since it was basically put into law after the Stoneman shooting back in, February of last year, 2008. almost 2 years now, we literally had almost 2,600 red flag gun laws ordered. So much so that Pasco County in Tampa, Florida, two counties over from me, Tampa, most people know where Tampa is, they had their own specific five-man fire team task force that is designated just for red flag gun orders. Just for red flag gun confiscation orders. That is all they do every single day, every single weekend, all the time. That is the only purpose they do, is go out, knock on people's doors with red flag orders, seize their firearms, and turn them in basically to the department. This is becoming a serious issue, and people have to wake up and realize what's going on. Seattle State, concealed carry holder, never been arrested before, had his gun seized for simply posting a meme on Facebook. What has America become, Dan?
I don't even know how to respond to that, Austin. But, you know, I mean, that means that anybody can have anything done to them at any time. This is tyranny. And like you said, Bubble Boy Rubio. Now, why do we call him Bubble Boy Rubio for the new people who are listening? Because, you know, we have so many people listening now. We have over a million listeners. Why do we call Rubio, our Florida senator, why do we call him Bubble Boy? Because when he was in college, there are photographs of him in a gay bathhouse in a bunch of bubbles with a bunch of other men. Yeah, I just said that, didn't I? I said a few years ago. I need to clear that up. That's why we call him Bubble Boy. Now, I'm not saying that he's gay anymore. I'm not saying it wasn't some kind of phase he went through in college. I'm not saying that. He's married with children. We think they're his kids. We hope they are. So I'm not saying he's even a bisexual. I'm just saying that we call him Bubble Boy because we've got pictures of him in a gay bathhouse. You know, do the background check on him if it hasn't been erased from Google now as far as what he was involved with back when he was in college. You can just Google it. And this is the guy that's probably being blackmailed because of his past or whatever, who knows. I have no idea. I'm just speculating now. This is just speculation of why he's pushing these red flag gun laws so hard. But remember, the elite that we think, quote unquote, that are our leaders, they're not who we think they are. Look at this Daily Mail. What an odd couple. George W. Bush and Ellen DeGeneres, and Ellen DeGeneres' lesbian wife, sit together at a Cowboys game, sending social media into a frenzy. Now, you think about this. What the heck? Why is George Bush, who's such a conservative, sitting with a lesbian couple at a Cowboys football game? Well, just in case you were curious about that, I'll be honest with you. He's not a conservative. Okay, I just thought I'd mention that. And he's part of the Hollywood group that's all part of the same group that's all part of the same people that are trying to take over and overthrow the planet. Another example. Joy Bitar, she's Jewish, and The View host, they mock Christians by setting impeached Trump song to the tune of Joy to the World, a hymn about the birth of Jesus. They just did this. Yeah, Democrats are godless. They don't even care. They actually sang Joy to the World and basically put Donald Trump in there about impeaching him. Just a blaspheme. You think, what the heck, man? I mean, why would they do that? Well, because they have an atavistic hatred of Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of people that are picking up with their, you know, on their mantra doing the same thing. She also said, Joyce Parr also said on The View, that hearing from Jesus for Christians is a mental illness. Her being Jewish, she has an atavistic hatred of Jesus. Now think about this for a second. These are the people who are on TV with huge numbers that millions of people watch every single day to try to get their, how should I say this, their focus on where they need to go with their lives. Maybe it's not that much of a focus, but the reality is that these people are basically blaspheming. So why in the world? I mean, if I was ever invited on The View, oh my gosh, I would do it, by the way. But I wouldn't capitulate. It would probably be a shouting, screaming fest from the beginning to the end. You think, would you really do that? Yeah, I really would, because I'm not going to go in there and have a bunch of Jezebels who are probably demon-possessed tell me what I can and can't believe and what I can and can't do. It ain't going to happen. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. Absolutely not going to do it. By the way, we're having a major rail recession. This is the same thing happened back in the early 2006, 2007. We have carloads that are tumbling to three-year lows amid manufacturing implosion. As manufacturing plummets to the weakest levels since September 2009, there we go, 10 years ago, a new export New export orders are collapsing. The U.S. railroad industry has just been seeing carload volumes tumble to 3-year lows, according to a weekly report from the Association of American Railroads. Now, a lot of this is also due to the fact that General Motors is no longer shipping cars right now. They're not making cars. They're pulling out of existing inventory, and things are starting to contract. I had a good friend of mine. His name is Chris. He was here at the house with me yesterday for a couple of hours, and we were talking about this current state of the economy. And he said that China, because they've devalued their currency twice now, last couple of years, trying to make up for the tariffs, making their products cheaper, that they're basically imploding their own economy and that their orders are way down. He said what used to take about 4 weeks to get orders from China shipped to him now takes between 8 and 12 weeks because the ships are having to leave China and stop at multiple ports, including Vietnam, all the way down through Indonesia to come to the United States to run full. So instead of being a 4-week lead time, between 8 and 12 weeks now. All of this because of our tariffs against China, because their exports are starting to crash out. And remember, China runs on slave labor, and then they manipulate their currency with the Rothschild Banking Cartel, who's part of the Central Bank of China, in order to try to maintain their 4 to 5 to 6% growth rate. And Chris said that they're not having 4 to 6, 8% growth rate. He said it's because of the devaluation of the currency. They're showing those kinds of numbers, which is true. You devalue your currency by 10%, and all of a sudden now you have 10% more sales, and it looks like 10% more volume. You haven't had any growth. It's stagnant because you've devalued your currency to increase the dollar amount of exports. So we've got some interesting things happening. I'm going to tell you again, guys. We told you guys on the show years ago when gold was around $1,000 an ounce, this is a good investment. Okay, it's up 50% now. Equities are scaring me right now, so be really careful with the money you've got in equities. If you've made a bunch of money in equities and you've got some positive cash flow coming out of that stuff, you might want to take that cash out. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not a financial planner, so you go talk to your financial planner and park it in cash for a bit just to see what happens. We need to realize there's a lot of stuff that's happening everywhere that's getting really, really strange as far as economy. Oh, by the way, a new study talking about the commentary in the future of antibiotics. Be really, really careful in antibiotics. You don't want to do those unless you absolutely have to, because they're creating superbugs all over the planet, and things are not working any longer with antibiotics. And again, I believe this is another globalist plot to try to decrease the population through infectious diseases that cannot be corrected. Another big problem, syphilis has now come back onto the United States. This was an issue that I had people that I knew in college came down with syphilis, because this is the big thing. That and gonorrhea were the two big things we had to worry about in college if you were sexually, how should I say, if you were back, if you were, you know, I'm not going to even say it, you know what I'm talking about. Because you had to be careful who you slept with. You know, then I became a Christian, and that all stopped anyhow. But how syphilis sneaked up on Americans says the U.S. stopped taking STDs seriously, and now we're suffering the consequences. In 2018, rates of sexually transmitted diseases in the United States increased for the fifth year in a row, and combined cases of syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia have reached a record high. Now, this is crazy. The number of primary and secondary syphilis cases in diseases most infectious stages increased from 14% in 2017 to 18 to more than 35,000 cases, the highest number since 1991. Gonorrhea and chlamydia cases are also on the rise, with a 5 and 3% increase, respectively, since 2017. This past year has also seen a 40% rise in congenital syphilis, the type that is passed from mothers to their babies, 40% increase. Congenital syphilis can cause neurological problems, deformity, and death. I'm going to be very clear and careful with what I say right now. I don't believe in premarital sex. I don't believe in open marriages. In other words, where like Roger Stone was running around swapping his wife and all the with sick stuff they were involved in. I don't believe in any of that stuff. I believe in a biblically God-based marriage, period. All right? But guys, a lot of people don't comply with that. They don't believe that. Or if they believe that, they're not able to contain them or control themselves to do that. If you're going to have sex with somebody, you need to know who they are. I'm being as blunt as I can. You need to basically run a blood test on them. You need to do a little background check on them. I mean, if they've been arrested for drugs and heroin usage, you probably need to know that before you start swapping body fluids. Think about that for a second. And no matter what, you need to be using protection, guys and women. I'm being real, this is really something I don't like talking about on the show, but we got to cover this. women, if you're going to have sex with a guy, you don't know who he is or whatever, you make sure you're protected. Guys, make sure you're protected. And guys, women, listen to me. If you're going to be doing all this to start with, why don't you go to church and get right with God and realize that that's not going to make you happy. That's not going to do anything but fulfill lust. And that'll never be fulfilling for you in the long term. Remember, it's the righteousness, peace, and joy through the infilling of the Holy Spirit that brings you peace and the happiness through the Holy Spirit. So, guys, but please, tell your children what I just told you. Let them listen to the show, because kids are really bad about that when they're 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. They really, you know, have a really elevated libido, and they really like to do things they shouldn't ought to do. And a lot of times, this stuff costs them with these diseases and with pregnancies. Especially if you have women, girls, as children, be very, very careful with them. Make sure your boys hang out with the right guys. Make sure your girls hang out with the right girls and guys. And make sure that they have good friends. The Bible says that bad company corrupts good character. It is so true. And one thing I talked to this about, Chris, about this yesterday too, is you've got to protect them against internet porn. You've got to use programs on their computers and their software to stop it. But remember, these kids are pretty doggone smart. They're going to figure out how to do it, how to find it. So the best thing to do is just to eliminate their access to iPads and iPhones, period, until they're 15 or 16 years old. You say, well, that's not going to work because in today's society, kids are basically judged by their peers what kind of phone they have. So what? And Austin was 14, 15, 16 before he got a phone. Same thing with Harrison. Alexis, gosh, Alexis was 17 years old before she got a phone. It's just important that you keep these kids pure, especially the young ones under the age of 10. Don't let them see this filth. Guys, I love you and I appreciate you. Also, I'll do the write-up. Go ahead and close it up. Sorry I went long, and I hope you enjoyed the show today. I love you guys.
Absolutely, guys. And thank you again for the continued support of Health Masters. Be sure to check out the product of the week. The updated one, the one that won this morning, will be changing over here shortly, is the Ultimate Multiple Chewable. Apparently you guys voted pretty strong on that one and liked it. That's a very, very popular product. I've got all the way from older adults to take it that don't like to swallow pills, to my wife likes to take them, all the way to my children love to take them, all the way down the line. Even my dogs eat them sometimes when they're running around. The Ultimate Multiple Chewable tastes amazing. It's basically our Ultimate Multiple formula in a tablet, as far as a chewable tablet, compressed tablet formula. Really, really great product. Tastes amazing. Actually tastes more like a sweet tart. We tried to work on that formula for a while to get a good flavor that kids, dogs, anybody alike can enjoy them and take those vitamins. So be sure to check them out. They'll be on sale here very shortly on the website at healthmasters.com. Thank you again for the continued support. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Stay prepared. Stay awake. Stay frosty. We'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.